Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we know that you are our refuge. You are the hope of our salvation. And Lord, that you are God, and there is none other salvation given unto man except that it comes from Christ Jesus. And Father, I thank you, and I pray among this congregation this morning, Lord, that you continue to work among them, continue to be with them, and continue to guide them, and lead us all, Father, in your grace and your tender mercy. And Father, as we come to you and move into the sermon this week, Lord, I pray that we will listen prayerfully and intensively to the Word of God, for the things that we speak of are the things of God and that have to do with eternity, just not the present moment. But Lord, you have created us to worship and to serve you. And Lord, we ask that you'll be with us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning the subject is service to God as Christians. I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, before we can serve God, there first must be a move of God in our hearts to move us, to grow us, to transform us into the body of Christ. There must be unity among the body of Christ. We must, with great strives, to keep the unity of the Spirit. We must not forget there is one body, one Spirit, one Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all. We must not forget who it was that called us unto salvation and who it was that called us to go. We must not forget who it was that called us out to share the gospel, the good news of the gospel, that our Savior, Jesus Christ, has won the victory over sin, over death, and has given us eternal life. This eternal life doesn't start the moment you die. It starts the moment you believe in God. Because when you put your faith in God, you become a new creature, and all things have passed away. Old things have passed away. Sadly to say, there are in our times where we forget who we serve, who it was that called us, who it was that delivered us from the bondage of sin, and who it was that called us to proclaim this great message that we have. If you would, please turn your Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 6. If you'll go to Genesis and start at Genesis and count to 7, you will be at the book of Judges. Judges is the book of seventh book of the Bible. I'm just going to give you a little background on this book while you find your spot in Judges, chapter 6. Judges, the book of Judges show us God's people, how they fell away from God and how they sinned against God. It shows us how God's people started to call out in prayer to God, showing us how God's people repented of their sins. It shows us the power of God to deliver His people, to deliver them from their sins, from their bondage. Seven times in the book of Judges, it reveals to us this cycle, how God raises up a prophet to deliver them. The fundamental verse of this book of Judges is chapter 21, verse 25. In those days there were no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eye. I believe that is the key verse to this book. But today we are in Judges chapter 6, starting at verse 1. But nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. Nevertheless, the people would shortly return to sin. And that's where we end up in Judges chapter 1, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them in the hand of Midian 7 years. Verse 1 shows us God's people and how they fell away from God. This phrase is, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, is the third time that this phrase is used in the book of Judges. And I am using the King James Version this morning. 40 years after the delivery, after deliverance from Canaanite captivity, we observe Israel falling away from God and sinned against God. We observe Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They have sinned. We observe that the Lord delivered them in the hands of the Midianites for the next 7 years. Just not the Midianites, but the Amalekites and the children of the east would come in and camp and attack Israel. And they were successful at it for 7 years. These were God's chosen people. They were set apart by God. They were set apart to do God's service. But yet, we find them living in bondage because of their sin. Yet, we see them for 7 years sinning and paying the consequences for their sins. How many of us are living in sin and in the bondage of sin, not living free because we have fallen and sinned against God? And we have turned our back on what we have known. And now we're living a life in misery and in pain. I can guarantee you that there's times, and this is not my saying, but I don't know where it comes from. I've heard it many a times, that sin, God forgives sin, but He doesn't take the consequences away from it. And we see them living the consequences of them sinning against God. And they're afflicted. And in verse 6 of Judges chapter 6, we see the people begin to pray to God. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. The children of Israel cried unto the Lord. The people began to cry out to God. How many of us in our time of need begins to cry out to God, but when everything's on the up and up or on the middle playing field, we really don't cry out to Him? But we see the people that they cried out because of their afflictions. They cried out because of the Midianites for the 7 long years of their affliction. The children of Israel were living in fear, living in bondage due to their sins. God heard their cry. And I want to tell you, He hears your prayers today just as He heard theirs in the days of the book of Judges. And we see that He heard their cries in verse 8, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hands of all that oppressed you. And drove them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. We know the story, how God sent the people to Israel and how they was there for many years in slavery, in bondage. And at the appointed time that God called them out of that house of bondage in Egypt, in the book of Exodus, and how He called them out of the hand and delivered them out of the hand that oppressed them, we see and we know, and I'm sure it's fresh in their mind. And God sent a man of God to proclaim that same message to them that they've heard before. It wasn't a new message, but the same. I'm the God that has delivered you out of Egypt. It's the same message we have today, that God sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And He sent that man of God, that prophet, to preach and to teach the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, and told them, it is Me. And they made a covenant. He made a covenant with them. God made a covenant. And they were supposed to drive out the people of the land and to pull down their groves and their idols. And they didn't do it. And it shows us that when we don't obey the word of the Lord, it lays snares for our hearts. Because they did not obey, it wasn't long before they started chasing the land, the gods of that land. They started chasing the idols of that land. And the people influenced them. See, He called them and He set them apart to God. He called them and set them apart for service. Israel can be a picture of the Old Testament church. But so far we see here that they have fallen and they have sinned against God. And we see here in verse 11 that God put a call on Gideon's life to serve Him, to serve God. We read in verse 11, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abizite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." So God first sends the prophet of a man of God to the people, a prophet, and now He's sent an angel to one man and called him to service. And we see that Gideon is living in oppression because he's threshing wheat by the wine press. And he's usually, when you're threshing wheat, you'd be out in the open or out on a little hill and throwing the wheat so the wind would blow and carry the chaff away, the weeds away, but not Gideon. He's hiding it from the Mennonites and the Ebizites and the children from the east so his family may have some food, because the people has been coming in destroying the land. We see here that they are living in caves already and in dens. Midian are oppressing the children of Israel. And Gideon is hiding. But the angel of the Lord has a message for him. He tells Gideon that he's a mighty man of valor, that he's a strong man, a powerful man. And I want to say here that many of us seem to be weakened because of our sins. And we live a defeated life sometimes. But I want to tell you, men, women, and children, that you are mighty men, women, and children of God if you will search with all your heart and live for Him. Because He has a call, just as He had a call on Gideon's life, He has a call on your life as well. And the angels told him that. But we see that Gideon is still in denial, that Gideon is in disbelief that God would call him to service. Just as many of us would be in disbelief that God called us to service. I know I tried to do everything else but preach. When I told Pastor Freddie I was called to preach, he said, find something else to do. I tried and nothing else happened. And I tried and tried. And I was in denial, like, no, God, you're not going to use me. No, you don't want me. And Gideon here is doing the same thing according to verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why has all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our father told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Gideon asked, why has all this happened to us? Why are we where we're at as a nation and as a people of God? Why are we here? And why has all this befallen us? Where is the miracles that God did with our fathers? Might as well say, where is God? Sounds like some responses I would receive today. Had a young man that was at the event last week. I believe in science, but you dig a little bit further, it wasn't that he believed in science. He said he just got hurt in church and from his own family. So he's in pain and in suffering, and just because a few good sinners have sinned against him, and we're all sinners, now we're separated from God and living in pain, and asked him, well, if God truly exists, where's he at? Why is all the suffering going on today? Why is all the pain happening today? Why is my life the way it is? Where is God? I hear the old timers say that God moved in our day. You know, some of the old timers says their time, they seen that in their day that God really moved in their time. But we, as a people today and as a nation, want to know where God is. We have no confidence in ourselves. We have no confidence in God's word. A lot of us won't take God's word for what it says. But I want to tell you that God has a call on your life. And will you be used as a vessel to serve God? See, he called him. Gideon didn't call himself a man of valor. God called him that. Gideon didn't call himself a man of power. God called him that. Gideon didn't say, I'm a strong man. God called him that. So he's still in denial, and I want you to look at verse 14. We see the second person of the Trinity starting to reveal himself by speaking to Gideon. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? The Lord is speaking directly to Gideon now, which was in the form of an angel the first time, but now he's telling Gideon to go in thy might, to go in thy power. And thou shalt save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? We're going to back up to verse 13 there. Every time God's called somebody, we can look at Moses. Moses said, I had a speech impediment. I can't do this, Lord, what you called me to do. Some of them ran and tried to hide from God. But most of them's like, I can't do what you've called me to do. But I tell you that Christ will send you in the might that he has given you. Because he's the one that called you to service. He's the one that has called you unto salvation. And will he not be with you? Is that not what he told Joshua? That be not dismayed, be not discouraged, for wherever you go, I will be with you. The Lord is with us today. And Gideon goes on and responds, and he said unto him, "Oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." I'm poor, and I'm least. I don't have the best speech. I don't read the best. But God can use you. If he can use me, I know he can use you. And I can tell you today that God still does miracles. God still works miracles. I don't have no scientific evidence that God exists, but one fact in my mind is that he still saves sinners, and that sinners are still getting saved, and people's lives are still being changed. I don't know, but I can look at my own self and see God in my past. And that's good enough, that he's given me his word, and that I can take upon his word and take it upon myself and learn of him. But Gideon is saying, "No, I'm the least. My family's poor. I'm not very well known." And the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." The Lord will be with you. He has to repeat himself. Well, church, congregation, I want to say this morning, the Lord will be with you. As individuals, I want to stop right here and ask the question. How many of us are struggling with sin? How many of us struggled in the past of sin? Does that disqualify us for God's service? No. But the moment that we start to pray and we start to ask God and we start to acknowledge our sins, he starts to make a change in us. And we become less like this world and more like Christ. And he becomes more and more present in our life. For he is with you. But most of us are hung up. Where is God? We have a lot of electronics and a lot of technology today. And that song, Old Country Church, I guess there was a deacon one time that used to sing that he had God on the main line. And I remember that. He had God on the main line. A lot of us need to get on our knees and start praying and asking God to forgive us and to start acknowledging our sins. And when God sends God's man and get into the Word, and when God sends God's man and he says he has a mission for you, that you're ready to serve. Have confidence that God has called you as individuals. How many of us have sinned against God, fallen from God, and has done evil in the sight of the Lord? And that we're now living in the bondage of sin. That we're living in fear because of sin. We're living in addiction because of sin. We're living in depression because of sin. We're living a defeated life because of sin. We're living a life that we struggle with self-esteem, low self-esteem, and pride. We live a life that is battered and torn because of sin, because we're searching for joy, peace, and love in all the wrong places. Searching for contentment in the things that are temporal, in the things that do not last. I ask you this morning that you acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as your God and your Savior. Acknowledge your sin. Pray and repent of your sins. Turn from your sins and turn to Christ Jesus. For God will show you His power to forgive sins and deliver you out of the bondage of sin. You know, over 20 years ago, I was in a boarding house. And you asked me where I would be today, and I would tell you that you're joking. But God has mercy and He has grace. And I'm sure that He can call and He can call us to do mighty things in Him. We don't have to live like that. For see, it ain't us. It is God that equips you to answer the call that God has on your life. It is God that has called you to salvation. And it is God that will be with you. What a privilege it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is to know that He does exist. And what a privilege it is to know that He saves us and calls us and that He uses sinners for His glory to proclaim His word, to proclaim that He has victory over sin, death, and that He can give us a new life, and that life starts immediately as we believe in Him. As we move forward as a congregation, just as God called Gideon to lead His nation, God has called us as a church to serve Him and to lead our community in evangelism, to grow spiritually, to grow numerically, to grow in ministry, to grow in service of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know as a congregation that your knowledge of God is the premise in which you view God. And out of your view of God is how you're going to worship God and how you're going to submit to God. And out of your view of God is how you're going to do service to God. Because when we have a small view of God, we don't do much in any of them areas. But I want you to have a big view of God. I want you as a congregation to lift Him up in worship, to lift the Lord Jesus Christ up in worship. I want you to live your life in submission to God. Does that mean you won't sin again? No, that means you'll be more aware of your sins and your inadequacy to serve Him, to be obedient unto Him. But it will show you His grace and His mercy, and it will inspire you and move you and empower you to serve God as a congregation. Yes, there will be challenges that seem impossible. We need to remember that our Lord Jesus Christ will be with us as individuals and as a congregation. That our God will make us a congregation strong and powerful in the Lord Jesus Christ and in service, reaching many with the gospel of Jesus Christ, with God's call on West Hickory Baptist Church. There will be changes. The changes may seem impossible, but with God all things are possible. We may fall, we may stumble, but with God's grace, we are one step closer to fulfilling the call of God as a congregation and as a church. And none of us knows what them changes may bring. And none of us know all the changes. But I can tell you, we don't know the outcome. But I can guarantee you one thing, church. The Lord Jesus Christ will be with you. It is time to stop living a defeated life. It is time to stop listening to our world telling us this is our perimeter and we cannot go past the line. It is time for us to start to obey God and start time for us to start as individuals to go out in our community, and time for us as individuals to start working the long haul of ministry. The easy part of what we did last week was last week. The hard part comes in following up with the individuals we served. There is a newsletter in the back of the Best Fuel Inn in the bell tower door. It's called WHBC Evangelism News. I would like you to take that. I've asked each and every one of you for a persistent thing, and one of them, the first of it is pray. God's going to use us mightily, and there may be a change in the way we do ministry and a lot of things, but God's going to be with us. I ask you today to acknowledge your Lord Jesus Christ in your life and as a congregation, that you are the body of Christ, and that God has equipped you for all that He needs you to do for service. And all He wants you to do is to step out on faith and believe in Him. Will you do that this morning?
With your destination, from where you're starting to where you're going, how you're getting there, are you more concerned about your destination, or are you more concerned about the people that God's placed in our lives that we're just overlooking because of our busyness? So, as we sing, turn your eyes upon Jesus. I want to ask, because I know this is a real need. I know it's a real need in my own life. As we sing this morning, if you have someone in your life that you know does not know the Lord, I want to ask you to come and pray for that person. I want to ask you to come and begin praying for that person. And maybe for me, I know I've always prayed like, well, Lord, maybe you'll send somebody to share with that person. But over time, the last couple years, I've realized that I need to change my prayer. I need to see, Lord, make me willing to go and share with that person. Don't let me be afraid of things I've done in my past, or because I don't think I'm good enough, or because I don't have a great testimony. The fact that the Lord saved me, the fact that the Lord has saved any of us, is testimony enough of what God can do. And so I just want to invite you to come and begin to pray for that person in your life. If you don't know somebody, I invite you to come and join with us in prayer as we pray for those who are coming to our Love Our Community Day. At 7:45 this morning, they already had a line. People have ready to come in. Like, that's amazing to me. That's great. I'm excited to, like, get over there and jump in and get my hands dirty with that. It's going to be tiring. It's going to be hot. It's going to be drenched. And we're all probably going to lose 20 pounds a day because of the sun. But that's okay. It's all worth it. Because as much as we're trying to meet a physical need in our community, we should care more about wanting to meet the spiritual need. And so, Jim, as we sing this morning, number 320, I just invite you to come and pray for that person that is in your life. Begin to pray for them. Pray for our Love Our Community Day today. And so just come as you feel led this morning.